The cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high.
Today, how many of you guys had a week where you just need God's grace?
Me.
Yeah, I think a lot of you do, right? I won't go into the details, but it's been a rough week. I think we all know. But let's all stand up. We're going to sing the song about God's grace. His grace is enough.
The sinner's heart. remember your children.
Part of this church for a long time. You all have known Lauren Thomas. Lauren was here last Sunday, and she has been struggling for a long time with melanoma. And she was healed from her illness and went home to see the Lord on Tuesday. So I think a lot of us have been involved with that this last week. But one of the things we found out through the process of Jack doing her funeral and talking with the family is that her absolute favorite song is this next song we're going to sing. And if you think about it, it's amazing that this is her favorite song. It's called Rooftops. And the words in it are, "So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I'll proclaim that I am yours. All that I am, I place into your loving hands, and I am yours." And from a woman who struggled for 3 years with melanoma, she knew who she belonged to. And we can rejoice that she's in heaven dancing with the Lord this Sunday. So I just ask that you guys worship this song. You know, think about how fragile life is and how really the life that's important is the one that's to come. So let's shout it today from the rooftops and honor both Lauren and the Lord in our worship.
Here I am before you, falling in love and seeking your truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice 'cause you set me. Shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All the good you've done for me, I lift up my hands for all to see. You're the only one who brings me to share this love across the earth, the beauty of your holy word. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I've broken. Places open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God, the everlasting God.
Sing it out.
So I'll shout your name from the rooftops.
I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
All that I am.
All that I am. A place in your loving hand. And I am yours.
I am yours. So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I am, a place into your loving hand. And I am yours. I am yours.
Here I am.
Lord God, we just come to you today and with a church that is experiencing the loss of one that we love. And God, as she did through each of her, each challenge she had, and she had a lot of them, that through it all, God, she came to recognize and know with confidence that everything else in life doesn't matter when we know that we belong to you. And so God, right now, as she's dancing in heaven and shouting out that song, we just join with heaven and thank you for her life. But ultimately, God, we thank you for your life that gives us eternal life, and that this is not the end, it's only a beginning. And so let us, in that same spirit, just continue to shout from the rooftops here in this existence, not wait till we pass on, God, to just let us just live every single day in your presence and recognizing that we're yours. And we give you praise for who you are in Christ's mighty name. Amen. As our children are heading out today, I'd like you to just stand and greet some people. Say hi to some people you haven't seen in a while.
To feel it.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody today? Good. Good to see you here. After this week, I think I put last night on Facebook, I just really need to have some worship today, okay? So if you aren't ready to worship, tough, I am. Welcome. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, hopefully you received a card as you came in. And I hope that you'll fill that out, take that to this back corner here, right outside here, and go ahead and fill that out. We have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship today. We believe that you're just part of the extended family that God's brought here, and we're excited about that. If you want, also, right after church, there's a time for some coffee and donuts info session. See, somebody's excited about it. And right over here, if you want to learn a little bit more about that, please go ahead. Right out here, it's a good opportunity to connect, find out if you have some questions about how the church works, why it's in existence, et cetera, et cetera. Just meet right out here in the Bell Cafe, and we'll go ahead and have a good time of connection and fellowship for that. Our youth confirmation class is starting today for ages 12 and up, and Debbie DiVirgilio will be leading that in here. Also starting tomorrow, and I really challenge everyone to go ahead and be part of this. We will be starting a spiritual gifts class, and it'll meet right here. It'll be 4 weeks, the 27th through the 18th, and you can register online, or you can talk to Debbie here today, or excuse me?
Just
or see Debbie today, but if you go home and you forget to see Debbie, go ahead and just register very quickly today. But spiritual gifts, basically, if you want to find out what your purpose is for God, these are skills that can help us discern what God has given us spiritually to go ahead and connect. And it's a great opportunity to go ahead and do that. You can see some of the other announcements, Vacation Bible School meeting, Dining for Women, and open Stage Night is rescheduled. We were going to have it this week, but with Lauren's passing and her funeral that day, we thought we would honor her by going ahead and taking a break from that and putting that off till the 22nd. There's a couple other things. I do have this clipboard in my hand right here, and we are signed up for a community kitchen at Elkton Presbyterian Church that meets there on Friday, May 8th, and there's a list of things here that is needed. We will begin to pass that around. So if you're willing to provide those things and help out, please go ahead. Joanne provided that for us, and that's been a great opportunity. Anybody ever served in the community kitchen? It's a great opportunity to work out, so hopefully you'll be able to connect once again and do some of them. So that is Friday, May 8th, and Joanne Edwards' information is in your announcement sheet. And our Hope Ministry event, the Narcan training, is April 28th, and it's been really kind of cool being in the community and hearing some people that don't even attend our church that are planning on coming to help with us and learn this Narcan training, which can really save a lot of lives. And you can see Parish Foundation on May 17th. Debbie, you want to talk a little bit real briefly about the National Day of Prayer? And she has those. There you go, Debbie.
Good morning, everyone.
Jack has been kind of like asking me to partake in this National Day of Prayer, and we were actually sent an invite this year, so it got passed along to me. So May 7th, which I know will interfere with the Dining for Women. Yeah, it's going to be 6:30 to 8:45 at the Bible Grace Church. So if you're out or looking for something to do or not attending the ladies, which I will miss, I apologize. Join us here for National Prayer Day. And then next year, as of this year, I'm connecting with the community to be part of that. So next year, hopefully, we'll have something of our own. And I have some brochures if anybody's interested.
Yes. Thank you, Debbie. As your Holy Spirit, you can now sit down. So, Debbie is a prayer warrior. If many of you have never really got a chance to meet with Debbie, she is a core of a prayer warrior. And if you're not on our prayer chain, which it used to be where you had to call people, we send out email, anything that is done online that you put a prayer request in, it goes right to Debbie. She gets it out immediately and does a great job. And it's a really way to, number one, know if anybody's in need, and number two, to go ahead and respond in prayer. One of the other aspects that I'd like to continue with is a lot of times we pray for people, but we don't hear what happens. So in the midst of that, after God answers a prayer, or if you're just still in need of prayer, go ahead and respond to Debbie as well, and she'll make sure that gets out as well, because it's always good to hear certain things. And so this is also Compassion Sunday. And Carol is going to come up and share with us. Compassion Sunday is with Compassion International, and it deals with a lot of the children that are struggling. Carol has been and helped with Compassion overseas, so she's going to share with us real briefly today.
Good morning. I am Carol Henson. I have been with Compassion. I've sponsored a child for 12 years. My child is actually 18 and will be graduating this year. 2 years ago, I did travel to Africa with Compassion International, and our main goal there was to love the children. We hugged a lot of kids, and it was a lot of fun. There are pictures out on the table that you can see. In Psalms 72:4, it says, "He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor." We have 20 children assigned to our church to sponsor, and we can get more if we need them. We've already got 3 children that have been picked out this morning before we started service. We have children that are in areas of child exploitation. They need our help. We have children who live in areas surrounded by AIDS and they are at risk. They need our help. So I'm asking you, as an individual, families, small groups, come get a child, sponsor a child. It's $38 a month for a small group. I know our small group's gonna do it. It's like $5 a person each month. So I think our church can handle 20 kids and maybe even more. Okay, so see me at the table. A child needs you.
My name is Kaylin Carolina Rodriguez. I'm 9 years old. I live in this house with my mom and dad and my 2 sisters. My mom gets sick a lot. It makes me sad, and I cry for her. I pray for her because I want her to feel better.
We often don't have enough money for food, and life is hard. I do get sick a lot, and I worry what will happen to my children if I got really ill. Kaylin tells me, "Mama, keep going. I want her to have a different life, not to live like this."
La historia de Kaylin.
Kaylin's story is one we see again and again in this community. Poverty is extreme here, and it is the children who suffer most. And so, when we reach out to a child like Kaylin through our compassion program here at the church, it is really about changing a child's life, giving a child love, hope, and the things they need to learn and grow.
I've asked my mom why I've been waiting a long time and still don't have a sponsor. If I had a sponsor, I had them and tell them I love them.
The first time I saw Kaylin's picture, Something about her just drew me in, realizing that here's a real child with a name and a family, and that I can get involved in that and change that story for her.
To a child in poverty, having a sponsor sends a message that it's truly life-changing. It says, you are known, your life matters, you are valued and loved.
I think Kaylin's major challenge would be feeling like she's worth anything. One of the worst things about poverty is that it steals from kids the one thing that God wants to bless them with so much of, and that's hope. So the fact that she's lived till the age of 10 in a hopeless situation, it's not right. And so I'm so excited that her life is about to change.
Kaylin has been coming to the church for over a year without a sponsor. I know she has been praying for one, and today it is my great joy to give her the good news. God has answered her prayers.
I think Kaylin would be just overjoyed to be able to share that news finally with her family. I would imagine it would be a very joyful time. As Kaylin grows up through the Compassion Child Development Project, it'll change the way she sees everything. She will have confidence. She'll have, hopefully, a relationship with Jesus. I think she'll be crying some happy tears. There's no doubt that while none of us can change the entire world, we can each change the world for one child in need, and there are children who need us. There's a child who needs you. So I would encourage everyone to rush out to that sponsorship table and look at those kids and find the one that needs you, because one of them does.
Challenge you, just as I said, you may be, you know, we may mention small groups and other things. You may be looking down the aisle on somebody and say, hey, you know, I don't, it might be a struggle to come up with that much, but hey, I don't know you down the aisle here. I don't know you, but hey, why don't we just come together and just make a commitment? That's a good way to get to know and help change somebody's life. So often we spend so much time and money and things that don't mean anything. And this is a way that you can actually make an impact and change a life. And so I challenge you to go ahead and do that. All right? So we're going to do that as part of the service at the church.
At least 17 children waiting, and as she said, we can get more.
Okay. All right? Very good. So today we want to lift up our times of prayers. We want to lift up Trish Moore for her mom and aunt for a safe trip home from New York. For Ian, is at Chrysalis. Ian Prentice is there. Trudy, lift up Ginny. She's sick with allergies, and a joy that she's back where she belongs, right here, and she has a big amen. Right, Trudy? There you are, back there. Jake Allen has asked for prayer for his friend Nathan, who lost his mother due to lung cancer this week. Lois for DJ Farrow, who is in serious, who's dealing with serious health issues. Judy also put Jenny McGall on there. We want to lift her continuing prayers. And Kathy Sullivan has lifted up Northeast Little League Day at Camden Yards. Is that today? So be praying and that whole situation in Baltimore and everything that's going on. Pray for friends and family from our community who travel to and from Baltimore. George and Pam Grable are lifting up a friend who's a 24-year-old mentally challenged, friend's 24-year-old mentally challenged niece who has been missing since the 1st of April in Newcastle. So we want to lift them up. Okay. Okay, so we'll paste a picture and a flyer just to make sure if anybody's seen to help with that. Stephanie Waddell is lifting up Gene, who is still in Christiana Hospital and has fluid buildup and is struggling to breathe. Damien is lifting up prayers for her mother, who is starting radiation and chemotherapy, and prayers for healing to help her keep her spirits up. For her husband, whose biological father passed away, and for her mother-in-law, who was diagnosed with emphysema, and prayers for your whole entire family. I know your sister has dealt with her own struggles with cancer and other things. So continue to lift family up. Also continue to lift Lauren's family up and friends and everything else. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and it's, as Wayne started today, it's been a heavy week. It's been a week, God, where in many cases, we have no answers at all. And we're trying to go ahead and find out where you are in the midst of all this. But God, we know that you're right here. We know that you're very present with us. But sometimes our hearts are broken. Sometimes our bodies are falling apart. Other times, we just don't have any direction. But God, we just pray at this moment that if we're struggling with any of those situations, that it all leads back to you, and that we find the answers to our questions right there with you. And so, Father, during this time, minister your presence, your healing, your peace, all those things to our hearts and our minds. God, no matter what the situation may be, we know the only answer is you. And that covers all things. And so, God, during this time where we lift up all these names, we lift up situations in our community, in our larger community and world that just seem like, if it feels like the world's falling apart. And then today, as we celebrate Compassion Sunday, we look and we see young children who are facing some of the most horrific diseases and challenges to their own existence in life. And so, Father, during this time, we ask that, so many times we just sit around and think somebody else is going to make a difference, but you said to us that we are your hands and feet. And so, Lord, through our tithe and our offering here is a portion of how we give back and affect those areas in our immediate community. And God, through our offerings and gifts elsewhere, like through Compassion International, there are ways we can reach people that we never could have before. So Holy Spirit, move in this place now. Heal our hearts. Strengthen our bodies. Utilize our gifts as we lift them up before you, that you may multiply them and use them to meet the vast needs that this world so needs. Because this world needs Jesus. And for that, we'll give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, so we chose this song this week because of the Compassion Sunday. You know, Waiting on the World to Change by John Mayer. You guys know it? So it's kind of interactive. So when Jack goes, waiting, you guys go, waiting. That'd be cool. You ready to do that? All right, let's be interactive today. Because, you know, I watch the news, you know what, and it's depressing. You know, I'm waiting to roll, you know. But thank God for the church. If it wasn't for the church, the world would never change, right? Amen, right? Come on, Thomas, give me that beat.
All my friends were all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and that the way that we see everything's gone wrong with the world and those who lead it. We feel we don't have the means to rise above and beat it.
Come on, church.
We keep waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. It's hard to beat the system when we're standing at a distance. So we keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. If we had the power to bring our neighbors home from war, they would never miss a Christmas. No more ribbons on the door. When you trust the television, what you get is what you got. When the only information confirmation, oh, they can bend it all they want. So we keep waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. It's not that we don't care, we just know that the fight ain't fair. So we keep waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. Waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. One day our generation is gonna rule the population. So we keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting,
waiting,
waiting on the world to change. Waiting on the world to change. Waiting on the world to change.
Good morning. I'm reading Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Joshua chapter 6, 15 through 16. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city."
All right. I'm all right, Gay. How are you? So today we're gonna. I'm gonna ask that you go with me. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to just go ahead and check. We're gonna be in most of the time in Joshua chapter 6. One of the other things I wanted to remind is that if you have, if anybody has any young children. And you want to, we do have our nursery, our Sunday school, and everything else. And if you want to hold on to them, a lot of times kids get a little rambunctious. We also stream the service out here. So if anybody wants to go ahead and not miss any of the service, you can go ahead to make sure it's distraction free for everyone else as well. So we want to continue to, so that you don't miss and no one else does as well. All right. So I wanted to mention that. But we're going to spend time today in it with a new series. Called Don't Stop. I'm not quite sure how long it's going to be or how far we're going to connect. But one of the interesting things that we're going to do is is, because it's been an interesting week, to say the least, in this area. We celebrated the joy yesterday of Anna Burke and Jeff Douglas. They were married yesterday. Many of you know Anna and Bobby and Jeff and them. So it was great to celebrate their wedding. As we mentioned before, we suffered our tragic loss in this world of Lauren Thomas, who affected so many people and just is an incredible person that we love very deeply and are going to miss immensely. And in addition to that, many of you don't know, on Wednesday, I wasn't feeling that great. I felt like I had like I was full of hot air or gas, like usual, I guess. I know you're shocked by that. And then in the middle of the night, I went ahead and I ended up calling Melissa. She was working. And long story short, I ended up going to the emergency room, and they ended up keeping me overnight on Thursday. And so they after several tests and things, they believe that there's something wrong, that they're leaning towards something wrong with my gallbladder. So anyway, it's been a less than fun week with that. And several people offered to fill in, but I said after this week I need to get together with my family from church and connect to God. And so that's what we're going to do here. And we're going to talk about Joshua, because I believe there's some walls that need to come down in our lives, right? Anybody awake? Anybody awake? All right. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're just going to share with what the Lord put on my heart, and hopefully we'll have some fun doing it, and we'll just give God the glory for everything. So it's good to be in church. I got to tell you, that was a good week to start 44, huh? I got to tell you, in my life, I used to be really, really impressed with people who started things. Like, I thought it was really awesome, like when you would go someplace and you'd meet somebody started this. Even in teaching sociology, they would go ahead and you'd announce the person who started sociology, who came up with that. But one of the things I find interesting about the person who started sociology, he actually became a hermit and locked up by himself. He had a nervous breakdown. So that's kind of odd that it happens. But more and more, I tend to be more impressed with people who finish things, not just start things. You know what I mean? It's easy to start something. It's difficult to continue until you finish. And so I kind of want to talk about that today. I believe that all over this room that there are people that have promises from God, and you're still waiting, like we just sang. You're still waiting for them to come through. You're looking at them. You say, okay, God, I hear this promise. I have it, but I'm not seeing it. I'm missing out on it here somewhere, and I want to know exactly where this is. So what we're going to spend time doing today is we're going to look at what was just read to us. I'm going to read some of it in addition. We're going to expand on that, and we're going to look at three things primarily that cause us to stop short of God's promise. Three things. Does that sound good? Sound good? Because that's all I got, and I'm, you know, and you don't want me to go off script, because we'll be here all day. At least until the medication runs out, and we'll be good. All right, so let's take a look here. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6. So again, if you have your Bibles or your phones with the Bible on it, or your iPads, whatever you want, it's a cool world we live into. At a click of a mouse, we can have any kind of thing. And you say, what's a mouse? A click of a phone. The first thing I want to share, though, is I believe one of the first things that causes us to stop short of God's promise, or cause us to stop halfway around, is where our perspective gets obstructed. That's our first thing, where our perspective gets obstructed. Now, here we go. I want to give you a little background history. We have the Israelites, and God, you know, we can go back a couple weeks. Kind of cool how God works things out. Because a couple weeks ago, if we go back, we talked about a guy named Abraham. Remember him? And in talking about, or it was Abram at the time, that this is the one who God wants to place his promise in. Historically, he leaves his Ur of the Chaldeans, goes ahead, and as he goes, God brings him up to the promise. It says, I'm going to bring this promise to you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., etc. So Abraham is going to be a great nation. From that point, then we end up talking about somebody we talked about again, a guy named Moses. Remember Moses? Okay, with Moses, here we have this situation. Last week we talked about Moses and his veiled face. Remember? Shake my head, make me feel good. Okay, there we go. All right, and he led God's people out of Egypt, and he was to lead them to the promised land. So here we are, but Moses did something that God didn't like. So here we come to this point where they're getting ready to go into the promised land, the land of promise, but there's some issues that occur here. And now the new leader is this guy named Joshua. And Joshua is the general or the leader that is going to take them into the land that God has promised. Back from the time that God had promised to Abram, here we are, years and years and years and years and years and years and years later, all of a sudden, here is Joshua. Now, the Israelites are not somebody who you would like to be your GPS because it took a four-day journey. It took them 40 years. Anybody else can relate to that, that it took you 40 years to get to a place that only takes four days? Okay. So here we are. But one of the situations is they're getting to the place of the promised land, the land that God has promised, but there is a problem. The problem is there's people there. It'd be like saying, hey, guess what? I'm giving you this $1 million house. Here's the problem. People live in it. So you have two choices. You either live with them or you get them out. God said, you're not living with them. So get them out. But so here we go. We have this place, and the first place that they deal with is what is known as the oldest city in the world, called Jericho. And Jericho is a very interesting place. So let's look what it says in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6. I also printed most of these verses in your bulletin to read along. Anybody who's computer savvy, you see that little box that has a squiggly thing called a QR code. If you click on that, that'll take you to our Facebook page. If you want to write something about the sermon in there today, feel free to do so. It'll give you something to do and stay awake, okay? So here we go. Here they are entering this first battle. And it says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites, and no one went in and no one came out. Stop. Now, Jericho was fortified. It was locked down. Now, today, and this is ancient Jericho, as you can see, they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have helicopters. So in order to protect yourself, you put up big walls. I'm going to say that there are some people walking around. There may be some people in this room that in order to protect yourself, you probably put up some walls. Am I right? Okay. To get to God's promise, there's some problem facing you. There's some opposition that is standing in front of you to really embracing God's promise. So what we have here, from a military standpoint, is an impossible situation. God has said, that's yours, but everything's shut up so tight they can't get in. Now, in our lives, there are sometimes we end up in impossible situations. But I want to tell you something today. Impossible situations don't scare God. Did you hear me? There we go. I just want to make sure you're awake. Check the person's pulse next to you. Okay. I want to make sure that you hear the impossible situations that scare you and me do not scare God one bit. God gets a kick out of them because all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And as we look, here is, you may have some things in your life where there's a promise, but you have some shut up things that you can't get in. And as you are in these shut up things, you're struggling to kind of get in here. But sometimes I fully believe that it's not about that you can't get in, but that the enemy knows that he cannot keep you out, and he's going to put as many oppositions in your way to keep you from the blessing that God has from you. When you are headed to a promise of God, expect to deal with some problems. Awake? All right. I'm going to have to work on you guys today. We're going to work on you. Okay, so now I want to jump to verse 2. Stick with the same chapter. Verse 2. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Stop. I've got a problem here. And some English majors just went, whoa, what the heck here? God is talking in what tense? Past tense. What'd he say? I have. Wait a second, stop. They haven't even gone to the door to knock and say, let me in. They haven't even gone to the first wall. They haven't gotten near there. And yet, here is this fortified, impossible, locked up city. And God says, I've already given that into your hands. I have a problem here. And the problem with God saying, I have already given this into your hand, is verse 1. Verse 1 is, this is an impossible situation, but God said, I've already given it to you. And so I want to ask you this question. What do you do when what God says does not match up with what you see? Let me say that again. I want to make sure you get it. I'm the one who's on medication. What do you do in your life when what you see does not match up with what God says? Anybody had any situation like that in your life? If you don't, hang in there for a while, you will. Like, for instance, you may come to church and I'm preaching about peace and blessing, and you leave here and you have turmoil and tragedy. Or I may be teaching about how God brings all things together, and you may go home to a relationship that's falling apart. I may talk about the provision of God and you lose your job and are barely making it. How do you believe what God says and yet you struggle and deal with the impossible situation in what you see? Satan will use your problems to obstruct your perspective time and time again. He will put up walls or hurdles, whatever illustration you want to use, in our way of the promise of God, so that we don't see the promise, but we focus on the problems around us. And when we put our eyes on the promise, then we end up in trouble. Simon Peter, Jesus said, come to me. The dude's walking on water. And as he's walking on water, as long as his eyes are on Jesus, which is where his promise and strength is in. When he started to sink was when he turned and looked at the wind and the waves around him, the storms in life. And when we take our eyes off of the Lord and we get our eyes on something else, we end up with a problem. We begin to sink under the weight and forget about the promise in life. You see, Jericho was not too big of a city. It was actually a small city, but it had high walls. This is the first city that they have to take. They went to AI next, and not Allen Iverson. They went to AI, and they had conquest after conquest. But first, they had to get through this well-walled city. Now, several military historians from the Jewish faith have given about 5 or 6 ways to destroy a walled city, but God provides a ridiculous way. Sometimes I find in life, in order to be victorious in the Lord, you need to do something ridiculous. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to preach a sermon twice today. Sometimes, in order to be victorious, you have to get ridiculous. Because when we're in a relationship with Christ, it tends to go ahead and widen our perspective that we see beyond the walls. And one of the things that helps us widen our perspective more than anything is worship. Is worship. Amen. Is worship. Amen. All right, there we go. All right, somebody's alive. Okay. So in doing this process, Joshua sees walls, but he sees through them. So what does God tell him to do? Well, God tells him, whatever you are looking at is not a sign that you're getting captured in, but that the promise of God is much deeper and much stronger. So let's look at chapter 6, verse 3. Here we go. Here's what God tells him. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Have the whole army do what?
Shout!
There we go. And, all right, that's good. sound a long blast with the trumpets, have them give a loud shout, and when the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Now, I got to tell you, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Imagine this. You know what? You guys are very visual, aren't you? Okay, let me help you out here. All right. Okay, so I need some volunteers, or you know I will draft you, okay? Okay, so I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance here. Who wants to volunteer? Anybody? All right, here we go. Let me see. Go ahead, Damien. Come here. All right. Here you go. You're going to be fighting men. There you go. Or your pipe fitters and plumbers. Who knows? All right. What? That's okay. Here we go. Come on down, Ray. Let me see here. I'm going to draft somebody. Let me see. I used some other people the other week. Okay, come on, Nikki. Here we go. And I need two more. Ben, will you help me out? Come on, Ben. And Jacob, I need you back there. So let's go ahead. Come on, Doug. You can help me out. Here we go. All right. You guys are going to be the ark carriers. Here you go. All right, come on back here, Ray.
I'm short.
That's all right. It'll work. I'll put you guys in front. All right. So come on. All right. So here we have fighting men right here. Okay. And just to take it away and make it a little more authentic. All right. So come on. You guys can get close. Go ahead. Just don't touch the ark. You may die. All right. Okay. So let's take a look at this. Okay. Once again. In verse 3, what do we have? March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Okay? And the seven priests with the trumpets of ram horn in front of the arks. And you keep doing this. So, you guys ready for a walk? Okay. Oh, yeah. You're going. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Now, the other thing God said is, shh. Don't say a word. So, I want you to walk around once. This is day one. Go ahead. Go ahead. Lead on. No, shh, wait, quiet. They're walking around Jericho. Shh, you Jericho people. Shh. Keep on coming. Here they come. Man, you ark carriers are slow. It is a big city. There we go. All right. Poor Nikki's. We may have to switch the two in the back around so we get a little bit of height. All right, come here. And you can stay right there. Go ahead, stop. There we go. So how'd you guys feel?
That was a big
city. All right. Great. Now, how do you feel about that? Because here we have our second problem here. They are to march one time for 6 days. The ark's upside down. All right. All right, again. So, march one time, and here's the problem that I have here. Not a pebble fell out of the wall. You grab an army, you take the presence of God, you have trumpets, and you say, here we go. Let's take a walk. Oh, shh. Okay. Okay, put your stuff down. Go home. But don't go too far. Go home. You can go home. Just stay close. I'll be calling you again. If you want me to keep walking, I don't know about you, but if you want me to keep walking in life, you got to give me something, God. If I'm going to walk around, I want to see at least a little pebble go blink. To know, because the problem is, in number two, our progress is not always obvious. When God is telling us something, and we're walking, and walking, and walking, and walking, I don't often see the progress that is occurring that God says it is. But I feel like I'm walking to nowhere. I feel like I'm getting nowhere. I hear your promise, God. You said, I have already delivered this into your hands, but I ain't seen a pebble pop away. And I think this is how our way of living happens at times. Like sometimes we say, I'm raising these kids, but I ain't seeing a positive development in them, God. Or I'm praying sometime for something, and I'm not seeing an answer. Or I'm reading my Bible, and it's not making any more sense than it did before. Or, God, I've been praying about these bills, and I've been changing, but I'm still in financial trouble. I got a billion things on a plate that I've got to get done, God, and you know I have to, but then you throw me in the hospital. That ain't working. That doesn't fit with me, God. And so we struggle with these promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it builds into exactly what God was trying to tell these people in this, is that we walk by faith and not by sight. If I was God, I would have done it a different way. And we're all glad that I'm not God. Because here's what happened. We read the rest of the story that they walked around. They did that once a day, every day. And for 6 days. And the seventh day, they did it how many times? Seven. And then said, shout. And the walls came down. Spoiler alert. The walls came down, they crumbled, and what happened? Then they went in. I would have done it a little bit differently. Now, I got to tell you, here's what's really cool about the Bible. They talk about 6 days they went around. Six in Hebrew numerology is the number of humanity, man, and weakness. In other words, the 6 days were God just getting them out of the way and saying, you know what? I want to make sure you know it's not you. I want to make sure you do nothing in your own strength for 6 days, that you walk and you walk and you walk. Walk it out, Joshua. Keep walking. The question I want to ask you, though, is this. Will you do what God wants you to do, even when it's not appearing that it's working? Will you do what God wants you to do? Will you take that walk? And you say, God, I've done this a couple days. Not getting anywhere. Let me just put it in another perspective. Will you forgive that person even when it's not reciprocated? Oh, wait, now, Jack, you're stepping on toes. Stop. Will you continue to trust when prayers seem they go unanswered? Think about this. If every prayer I ever prayed in my life was immediately answered, I would be the biggest praying machine there ever was in the world. Just think about that. Everything I ever asked for happened. But I got to tell you, there are some times when I pray, it seems like nothing happens. There are other times when I pray that it seems to happen way past when I wanted it to happen. That's usually most of the time. I just believe there's someone here that needs to hear, just because your progress is not obvious does not mean that your faith is not working. Nothing dropping out of the wall. Now, I tell you, if I did this and I was God, Jericho would have been like Tetris. Look, you remember this game, Tetris? How many ever played Tetris? Okay. When you got a line at the bottom, what happened? Boom, it fell. I say, okay, guys, you walk once around. Go ahead. And once you get around, boom. And then they say, okay, good, we'll come back tomorrow, boom. And by the seventh day, it would all be down to the ground. We could play Jericho Tetris. Because for me in my life, my progress is very closely related to my motivation. I'll give you an example. You've heard me talk about exercise. And there's still a point in my life I really don't like it. Right, Brandon? There's a point in my life, I can't stand it. I'd rather be sitting eating cheeseburgers and cake. Wouldn't it be great if we could lose weight that way? The cheeseburger and cake diet? But in the midst of this, I realize that while I'm working out, I don't always see the progress. Just think if I was doing stomach crunches and ab work, or if I ate a broccoli and all of a sudden a pocket of an ab came out. I'd be popping Brussels sprouts like your Tic Tacs. Boom, 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 you know. If I saw that immediate progress from my motivation, it would change the way I act in life. But God does not show us that it's working because maybe God doesn't want to show us that it's working because maybe God wants to do something deeper in me. Maybe he just needs to work on something inside my life a lot more. Because what I find out in life is it's not about results, it's about obedience. The results are God's business. Obedience is my business. And when I obey God, he does something more important than the results that happen. The 6 days walking around was preparing them for a promise. Let's look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, have the seven priests carry the trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets for the Ark, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of them, and the priests who blew the trumpets in the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. Now, verse 10. But Joshua commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. You know, I find there's a couple things that are interesting here. I think Joshua gives some good information here in verse 10. That basically, sometimes the best thing that we can do in life, thank you, what'd you say? Shut up. Sometimes the best thing we can do is keep our mouths shut and just march. Just shut up and march. Just keep on going. Say, God, you know, because I would have been, I got to tell you, if I was this guy, I'll take this, I'd be like, hey, I want to take you. Shush, Jack. Why am I going to be quiet? I have problems being quiet anytime, let alone walking around. That would have taken me a good hour. It would have been a good cardio workout. 1 hour around being quiet. Can any of you be quiet, totally silent with other people for an hour? When you're asleep, that's about it. But here they are. You have fighting men. You have warriors. You have priests. You have the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God. And you're walking around the enemy that is locked up because they heard about the Israelites, and you're told to be quiet. And this is working how? Now, just imagine. The other thing I find interesting is Joshua doesn't tell them how long they're going to do this. Now, think about what that does. So they start, and they say, okay, they're all ready for battle. They grab their sword. They're ready to go out. Here we go. Let's get this Jericho people, whatever they are called, Jerichonians, I don't know. And so we're going to go in, and we're going to give them a good butt-whooping, Israel style. Woo! L'chaim. Okay. And Joshua knows that they're doing the day six. They're going to walk around. He knows day five. He knows day four, three, two, one, boom, that they're going to go around 7 days. But look at what he says in verse 11. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Now, I got to tell you, if my job is to be military, imagine, here are these trained soldiers. They're ready for battle. Time to go. Let's go. Let's go. And Joshua says, walk around, shut your mouth. And they walk around. They say, oh, this is going to be impressive. We're going to walk around. We're going to have our swords. They're going to be in there. They are going to be like just shaking in their boots inside. And we're going to walk around. I'm going to be like, yeah, look at me. I'm an Israelite. I'm going to kick your butt. You know, he's going to walk around like this. And they get around. And then all of a sudden, they come back. And Joshua said, that's all for today. Go home. So they get home. And they talk to their spouse. And their spouse says, hi, honey. How are you? How was your day? Now, what that means is, I want to hear your day, and then you're going to spend the next hour listening to what I want to tell you about my day, but we're going to work this out. It's all going to be good, but I want to hear what you did. Did you kill some people from Jericho? Are we ready to go in? Is the promise there? Is everything good? And he says, well, it was interesting. We had all the battle equipment on. We started out. We had the ark there. We had the trumpets. And we start off, and you know, we started to give a war cry, and Joshua said, shh. And we just kind of went for a walk. It's a nice day. And here I'm back. But tomorrow's going to be different. Tomorrow's definitely going to be different. So she said, okay, honey, get a good night's rest because you're going to kick some Jericho butt tomorrow. I know you are. Okay. So here they go. Goes to bed. Joshua says, come on back. He brings them all back again. When he brings them all back again, look at verse 14. So on the second day, they marched around the city, how many times? And returned to camp. How was your day? Well, you know that thing we did yesterday? I think he's doing team building exercises. That's what's happening. You know, we're getting together. We're getting to know each other well. You know, I got to meet Eli today, and he's a good guy. I didn't get a chance to talk to him before, you know, kind of good before we go into battle. And they did this for the next 4 days. Makes absolutely no sense at all. None whatsoever. They had no idea how long they were going to keep this up. And I got to tell you, one of my biggest problems in life is that life does not tell you how many laps you got to go around. Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew how many laps you had in life? It would be incredible. Like, back to the exercise. Doing this new exercise thing, sometimes I don't have a clue how many more we have, right? And sometimes I think Jimmy adds some more, right, Brendan? Yeah. But we're in there, we're doing this exercise, and all of a sudden, I'm coming to the point, if you tell me I have this much, at least I know where I'm ending, and most of the time we do, but sometimes I forget, and it's those times that I don't know that make it worse. If you give me a target, I can head for that. You ever been doing something, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, no, you got one more time around, you're like, oh, no! He didn't tell them this. Life doesn't tell you how much more time that we have. I don't mind walking around, but God, you just got to tell me. I don't mind in my life hanging in here, but you got to tell me when this hurt is going to stop. You know, God, I don't mind struggling and coming through addiction, but you just got to tell me, when am I ever going to get over it? Because each time I feel like I'm coming through it, it's worse. God, I don't mind hanging in there in my marriage, but you got to tell me when it's going to get better. God, I don't mind not having a job right now and trusting you, but you got to let me know when I'm going to get some freedom for this. Just talking to anybody here today. Because the bottom line is number three. Our process is open-ended. Life is open-ended. Now, I'm going to talk about something I never talk about. NASCAR. I know there's some people who love it. I'm not the biggest NASCAR fan in the world, but we'll work with it. But when you're watching NASCAR, one of the things they have at the top of the screen is what? Laps and laps to go. So you know when it's going to end. And what I found out is, and let's see what you know. At the end, and when you're on the last lap, what kind of flag is it? The white flag. Isn't God good in NASCAR as well? Life does not wave a white flag for us. It doesn't tell us, here's your last lap, Jack. Kick it in, baby. Go. There you go. It doesn't do it. I don't know when my last lap is. I don't know as I'm walking through life, as I'm dealing with this consistent journey. I don't know when my last one is. So there's times I want to stop in the midst of the race. But guess what? When I stop, I may not realize that just around the next turn, it's the checkered flag. And I'd miss out on finishing the race. I need to continue to go and go and go. I don't give up when I'm this close to victory. And so many people give up in life when victory is right there. Just think if those priests had gotten to day 5 and said, enough. There hasn't been a pebble outside that wall. I am a warrior. I am not a marching band. Enough. I can't do this anymore, Joshua. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm exhausted with this. Every time I got to go home to my wife and she keeps saying, I thought you were a warrior and now you're just... Don't give up when you're this close. I believe somebody in this room is, and maybe lots of somebody's, is, are walking around in circles across, around the promise that God has given you. And your problems are in your way. And you're walking and walking and walking and wondering, how long, God? How long? How much longer? How much longer am I going to continue to be single, God, when people around me are getting married? How much longer, God, am I going to deal with this brokenness that exists in my life? How much longer, God? How much longer can I take this? Some of us have been walking, and we have our mouths shut. And we're trusting in God's promise. I read the scripture, train a child up in the way that they go, and they will not depart from it. But God, have you seen my kids? Is what we say. And I'm afraid they're falling off the face of the earth. I'm afraid that they're broken. I'm afraid that they're going to do stuff that isn't going to help them. And God, I'm trusting in you, and I'm walking, I'm keeping my mouth shut, but I'm tired. I'm tired of walking this way. Enough. So I'm just going to stop, and I'm not going to walk anymore, God. And we miss out on the promise because of the problem that's with us. You see, God, why didn't you just knock them down the first time? Because I believe that when we walk around and we walk around, that when we get the promise, that God wants us to know that it was him who did it and not us. Not a pebble fell at the first 6 days, but on day seven, the walls fell down. Hebrews 12, verse 35 through 36, in your bullet, I haven't printed in your bulletin, says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to, what word? Persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will what? Receive what has been, he has promised. You get the promise of God through perseverance and not stopping. You notice it says, you need to persevere so that when you have what? Done. Not known. Not liked. You may hate every second of the journey walking around. But when you do it, then the presence and the promise of God comes. It's the circling of my problems and the walking by faith and not by sight that God prepares me for the promise that he has for me. Then I will be strong enough for the battle. Because you know what? It says when the walls came down, everybody went straight up in. Guess what? The people were still in Jericho. They still had to deal with them in Jericho. If you read into verse 21, they had to do battle to fully take on the promise of God. But guess what? If it wasn't for that cardio workout and that spiritual workout, they would not have been ready when the walls fell down. Some of us are tired of walking around the walls, but we need to go ahead and continue there. I got to tell you, there are some times in my life that I don't want to preach. There are some times where I just don't feel up to it. There are some times when I just don't want to. God, I walked around this. I've been doing this for 20 years, God. I'm not saying much. I'm walking. Sometimes I'm dragging. Sometimes I'm crawling. But you know why? Because today, this time around, may be the white flag for somebody, that today might be the day that somebody gets it. And today might be the day that somebody has the walls fall down in their life and comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we keep walking. We crawl, we squirm, we pull ourselves, we go one more lap, one more lap, one more lap. I didn't have a clue last week that it was going to be Lauren's last week with us in this church. But you know, she was here, and it wasn't easier for her to be here because she was taking another lap. She was taking another lap because she connected to her Lord. And that was a connection for her that meant the world to her, that her hope and trust was in Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jack, what if it's not my last lap? I'm going to give you a hint. Make every lap like it's your last one, so that when the walls fall down, you're ready for the promise of God. If every lap is like your last one, eventually it will be. See what you need to do? You need to get marching. I want the praise team to come up. I want everybody to get up. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. Right? Because look at this last scripture. What does it say here? On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak. They marched around the city. How many times?
Seven.
They had to do everything they did the last 6 days, seven times that day. You think they were happy about that cardio workout? No. They're like, can you hear the talk? My Lord, we've done this six times already. Nothing's happened. No, you're going to do it today. And guess what? Here's what's going to happen. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army. What did he tell him? Shout.
Shout.
What did he say? Chris, you did it good. Joshua said, here's what you're going to do. What are you going to do?
Shout.
Shout. So they let the blast. They shouted, and the Lord has given you this city. Here's the day of promise for them. And when the trumpet sounded, and the army did what?
Shout.
And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave aloud, the wall did what? Collapsed. And everybody charged straight in, and they took the city. You see, they had it already. The promise was there. But if they had stopped on day six, if they had stopped on day five, if they had stopped on day four, if they had stopped on three, two, or one, they would have never, ever had the walls come down, and they never would have possessed what God promised. My prayer for you today is that you keep on walking. Come on. Keep on marching. Get those legs up. Come on, let's march. March around, and when you're marching around, recognize that today may be your seventh time around, and let the walls fall down in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to ask for you to pray with me real quick. Lord God, we come to you right now, and I just get a feeling of heaviness, God, a feeling where we're just labored by walking and walking and walking and not seeing anything fall out of the walls of our lives. You've promised so much stuff, God. And there's so many of us. I believe there's people here who just want to give up. They just want to stop. But God, give them a little bit of hope today to recognize that what you're doing inside of us is greater than what we see outside. That as we march through life, it's not for naught, but you're working in us. And that our white flag in our last day is going to come where the walls are going to fall down. God, I pray that walls of relationship hardship are falling down right now as we speak. I pray that walls of hurt and pain are crumbling at our feet, so that the blessings of the peace of Christ may just rest upon all them. I think there's another people who are trying too much in living in those first 6 days into their own human existence. We're trying to make it under our own human strength and weakness, and God, we're failing. And that what we need to do right now is just come to a point today where we say, God, I need my seventh day to be this, where I just surrender to you and I confess that I've tried to do this on my own and I'm exhausted. I've been walking around the same problems for 20, 30, 40 years. But what I need right now is, Jesus, you to give me the promise and me to just keep my mouth shut and walk around so that the walls fall down when you tell me to give a loud shout. And so, God, I want to lead people in this prayer that if they just need to accept you as their Lord and Savior for the first time, that you'll have the walls of hurt and pain and all those things just fall off their heart, that they can just recognize, God, and they just say to themselves, God, I need a Savior. You're it. You're the only one. God, I'm tired of walking. I'm tired of stumbling. I'm tired of crawling. And I need you. I need you to come into my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose again. And through you, I have eternal life. But I also have a life that is full and vibrant here. Heal my heart. Heal my loss. Heal my pain. Heal my struggles. And God, I'll be ready to go up with you when you get tell me to give a loud shout. So here's my shout today, God. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And let me walk into the promise that you've given. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today I'm going to ask that our Stephen ministers come up forward, Randy, Debbie, and Donna. And I'm just going to ask you just walk where you are in your seat. Let God minister something to you, because I just get to feel that there's a lot of, our church has dealt with a lot of heaviness this week. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because it's easy and my burden is light. Let Jesus lift that from you. Let's surround each other with love and peace and grace in his name. Amen.
Becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There is nothing worth more than my love. Never come close, nothing can compare. You're our living hope, your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence.
Lift it up, church.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
I want to hear the church lift it up.
Just continue to just kind of bask in the presence that God just wants to speak to you. We don't know when we don't have the lapse left marker on our lives. Don't leave here today thinking you got another lap. Don't just despise the lapse that you have. Don't just take for granted that you're in the game. But just go ahead and just come to a point where you just connect with Christ, because today may be the day that you just need to have your walls fall down and get the promise that God has for you. Whatever it may be, God knows. And so, you know, we're just going to allow the atmosphere to continue. I'm going to give a benediction, but our Steve minister is going to be here if you want to pray for healing. We don't have magic powers, but we know who is the one who put us together, and he knows how to fix us. And so if you need that, we'll pray for you up here. But whatever it is, just let the presence of God just minister to you in an incredible, awesome way this week as you walk through this journey. And don't stop. Don't stop halfway around. Don't stop on 3. Don't stop on 4. Don't stop on 5. Don't stop on 6. Don't stop until the walls fall down and he gives you the promise in your life. Amen? All right. So, Lord God, I just ask that you be with everyone here as they leave this place. That you be specifically with anyone who's dealing with loss and issues and pain and suffering. I ask that you be with my family as we have to do a lot of different tests for Emma Gail and her back and for me and whatever's going on with me. But God, we know that greater are you than the one who's in the world. That you hold. I'm not worried about my future because I know who holds it, and that's you. And so, God, as I'm beginning this week walking around the wall again, I'm going to do it with my eyes focused on you. And I ask that all of us do that, that we'll give a loud shout and let the walls fall down. In Christ's mighty name. Everybody said,
amen.
Have an awesome week in Jesus. Good job.
The question was raised as my conscience fell. A silly little lie.